والسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولدت منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم وقال تعالى في مقام آخر كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطيت ما لم يعط أحد من الأنبياء نصرت بالرعب وأعطيت مفاتيح الأرض وسميت أحمد وجعلت التراب لي طهورا وجعلت أمتي خير الأمم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, for allowing us to come for this blessed day of Jumu'ah. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this noble opportunity to earn His pleasure. And we go to Allah azza wa jal that He forgive us for all our sins, and make us from the people of Jannah, and make us from the people of Ridwan, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He ultimately grants us all Jannah for those with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. My dear spiritual brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, we started this discussion about being in this company or this business that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be under. And we talked about it that وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلَ مِمَّنْ دَعَىٰ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ That the best speech is the one that calls towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that he does good deeds and then he says that I'm from the Muslimin, I'm from the Muslims. And so today we want to expand on it a little bit and to use an off-quoted ayah that many people often know. It is this ayah, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ And another ayah which is similar to that is وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I want everyone to inshallah to understand the meaning. And once we grasp the meaning, we can kind of dissect it and understand what Allah ta'ala wants us to take from it. Allah ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ You should become an ummah. For those who know Arabic, usually we translate min لِلْتَبْعِيدِ, right? But the jumhur of the ulama say it should be for لِلْتَبْيِينِ, for explanation. Allah ta'ala is not saying some of you should be this ummah. Allah is saying that you should all become this type of ummah. This is a specific type of community that Allah is telling all of us to become. What is the special type of ummah that Allah wants us all to become? يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ That they call towards good. They call towards khayr, just towards good. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ And they command good. They command those things which are righteous, those things which are noble. And they forbid those things which are evil. وَأُولَٰئِكَ مُفْلِحُونَ And Allah says those are the ones who will find true success. Those are the ones who will find true success. Now this ayah that we're talking about here is something that people often they just say that you have to become a da'i. You have to become a da'i. And that would mean that you just give da'wah to Muslims. For example, just giving an idea. When people often quote this ayah, they say that Allah is telling us to give da'wah ila Allah. Da'wah ila Allah. But I want everyone to first reflect on the ayah that we just heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to become an ummah which calls towards what? Towards good. It's much more general than what we're making it out to be. People would limit it. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that for people to call to the ma'roof of La ilaha illallah, he said to call people towards the kalima La ilaha illallah, wa huwa a'zamul ma'roof. Right? He said that the greatest of all good deeds is to call people towards La ilaha illallah. I'm never rejecting that. I don't deny that. I respect that so much. But this ayah is so general, like Allama Alusi rahimullah ta'ala says. He says the ayah is so general that you can say that any good deed will be considered you calling towards good. وَيَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ Allah ta'ala says that you have to call towards good. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ And command and encourage people to do those good deeds. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And to stop people from doing bad deeds. I ask everyone from hearing this ayah, who did Allah ta'ala tell us to call? You don't hear it. You don't hear. Allah ta'ala just said, call people to good. When are we supposed to call? Where are we supposed to call? How are we supposed to call? None of these questions are addressed in the ayah, Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them general. He says, you decide who you want to call. You decide when you want to call. You decide where you want to call. And you decide how you want to call. But your goal is the subject matter of every single Muslim in this Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that I need to be calling towards what? Towards good. Everyone needs to find that the goal of my life is that I produce some type of khayr. That I made some type of good in this world before I left. And that's what makes you special. It's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given you, alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a beautiful hadith, and I'm not just making it up, أُعْطِيتُ مَا لَمْ يُعْطَى أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَىٰ. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been given things that no other prophet has been given. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been given things that no other prophet has been given. He said, نُصِيتُ بِالرُّعْبِ. I've been given this feeling of awe and majesty that whenever I would enter any area, مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ, that for a distance of 1 month's journey, anyone who would enter that sphere of being near me would feel this awe and tremendousness from my presence. The Prophet ﷺ saying that any enemy that would enter would automatically feel scared of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And this would happen to Sahaba too. Right? Whoever saw him, بَدَاهَةً هَابَهُ وَمَنْ خَالَتَهُ أَحَبَّهُ. The Shamal of Tirmidhi, he writes in it so beautifully, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when they said that when you saw the Prophet ﷺ suddenly, you become overstruck with awe and this majesty of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَنْ خَالَتَهُ أَحَبَّهُ. And whoever would just meet him and start to talk to him more and more, their love would increase on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, number one, he's been assisted to ru'a. That if you entered in that distance of 1 month's journey, you'd automatically be afraid of him if you were an enemy of his. وَأُعْطِيتُ مَفَاتِحَ الْأَرْضِ. And I've been given the keys to the earth. وَسُمِّيتُ أَحْمَدُ. And he says that one of the specialities of me is that I've been named Ahmad. No other Nabi has been given that name of Ahmad. This is a special name of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَجُعِلَتِ التُرَابُ لِيَا طَهُورًا وَجُعِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ. And another hadith says, وَجُعِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ لِي طَهُورًا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dirt of the world or the soil of the world has become tahuran for me. You can make tayammum on it. The speciality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every other prophet, and I mentioned this before in a previous talk, that other religions, they still use water, albeit maybe a bit less for their acts of purity, like baptizement, right? Like the baptism that happens, right? And in Judaism, they also have a type of wudu which they used to do. Although, albeit they might have removed it, and when I spoke to the rabbi, he said, yes, it's still important. It's a compulsory on us to wash our hands before eating. I'm like, okay, that's something there. You know, we're getting something close to wudu. But so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's speciality is that the earth has been made pure for him. And the last one he says, وَجُعِلَتْ أُمَّتِي خَيْرَ الْأُمَمِ. He says that my ummah that I've been given, this ummah here, the people here in this room right now, this masjid of Burlington, have been made, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my ummah has been made the best of all ummahs. My community has been made the best of all ummahs. Why? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Now we can understand this ayah properly. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That you are the best of كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. You're the best of all communities taken out for the benefit of communities. Atiyya rahimahullah ta'ala says, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ لِلنَّاسِ. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ لِلنَّاسِ. That the best of all people taken out for the benefit of people. You and I cannot just say it and suffice on just saying that I'm performing my five times prayers. You cannot just suffice on saying that I'm giving my zakat. You cannot just suffice and say, I'm doing my Ramadan. You need to find for yourself, and I need to find for myself, something that will make me push people to do good deeds. Something that will make me push people to do good deeds. Because that's what it means to be an ummah in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it doesn't mean that you have to go and give da'wah ila Allah, that you have to go to, you know, Muslims and tell them to come to the masjid or something like that. That's one way of doing it. One way of doing it. The turuqul khayrat are kathira kathira. That the different ways of calling people towards good are so many. Are so many. You can choose one for your own life. That I'm going to make this my goal in life. My building, my investment, my life will be on what? To make sure that this piece of good that I'm going to build will become the greatest thing in the world, inshallah ta'ala. I want to make it as big, as massive as I can. Because why? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to give da'wah to the Makkins, and Abu Sufyan, we spoke about him last week, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, and he gives us such a good perspective. Because he was a non-Muslim for a majority of the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. And so he gives us a perspective of being a non-Muslim, and then he gives us a perspective of being a Muslim. We get the two sides from him to understand how his mizaj changed. One other sahabi like that is this man named Uthumama. Thumama radiallahu anhu was this leader of an Arab tribe. And so one time he wanted to perform Umrah, and because of him being a leader, and this was a time of war, he ends up being captured. He walks in with a weapon,
And automatically one Sahabi spots him and captures him and ties him up. And they bring him and they tie him in one of the pillars of Masjid Nabawi. It's the best place to keep you, right? MashaAllah. He's in there and Sulama's there. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, no one talk to him, I'll do it. And Nabi says, I'll give him da'wah. And look at the da'wah he chooses. He doesn't say, Qulu la ilaha illa tuflihu. Nabi salatu wasalam doesn't say, to say la ilaha illa you become successful. Nabi salatu wasalam says, oh Sulama, how do you feel? He just said, how do you feel? Because this is the technique. Sometimes you don't need to just say it. Sometimes you just need to do something around them. Sulama says, that ya, oh, he said, oh Muhammad, same, I'm feeling the same. If you let me go, I'll be grateful. If you decide to kill me, there'll be bloodshed, there'll be blood money. He said that whatever you want to do, you know, I'm ready for it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells Sahaba, like, just leave him tied to the pillar. And then you can imagine how Masjid Nabawi's environment is. The mahal, the mahal of Masjid Nabawi, that Sahaba are coming in 24/7. It's not like a masjid that we understand, that like, okay, we're only opening it for these many salahs, or that it's only open for these many prayers, or only open for Jumu'ah. That's not a masjid. And really, Masjid Nabawi was so impressive. You can imagine, and I'm just giving an idea, after Fajr, Nabi alayhi salam would turn around, and he would ask the Sahaba radiallahu anhu about their dreams. You know, he would talk to them about their dreams. After Fajr, they'd be sitting and discussing, talking about things of Jahiliyyah, right? And Nabi salam would just smile, and they'd be cracking up in front of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then they all pray Ishraq, and then you see Sahaba coming in for Ishraq, and Salat Duha the entire time. And then Zuhr comes in, and then more Sahaba come in, and then you know, after Zuhr they all go home, take some qailula, rest, come back for Asr. After Asr now it's time to do Ibadah and do Dhikr, and then you see all of them from Asr to Maghrib staying in the Masjid, right? Sumama seeing all of these things, and then helping the poor, there are poor people coming, the people are giving them food, sadaqat is being distributed, a person who's sick is, you know, they're going to go visit people who are sick, a funeral is going to happen, they're going to go to a funeral. So many things are happening in this Masjid Nabawi. It's such a blessed place. Sumama seeing all these things. So day two happens. So Nabi Sarasim comes to him and says, oh Sumama, how do you feel? And Sumama radiallahu anhu goes and says, Ya Rasulullah, he says, oh Muhammad, same like I felt yesterday. You take my life, no problem. You let me go, no problem. It'll be great. Nabi Sarasim tells Sahaba, continue to feed him, continue to take care of him. He sees this again for day two. He sees it for day three. And then the Prophet Sarasim goes to Sumama and says, how do you feel? And he says, same old, oh Muhammad, same thing. And then Nabi Sarasim says, oh Sahaba, let him go. Let him go. And you're like wondering, like, why is he letting him go? This is an enemy, right? You capture an enemy. At least you should take him out. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recognized that 3 days is enough for a person's life to change. So then he goes to that man, Sumama, he unties him. Sumama radiallahu goes to the closest place he can take a shower, take a ghusl. He goes into the pond, he dips himself, he cleans himself up properly, he comes back to the masjid and goes, Ashhadu an la ilaha ashhadu anna Muhammad Abdul Rasulullah. He comes back and says, Ya Rasulullah, because of the akhlaq that I saw, because of the good character that I saw, because I saw dedication to this religion, I decided to change my life and become a Muslim. And he tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah, your face was the worst face to me in all of dunya. He said, I hated your face the most, and I wish that you would die the most. But after today, your face has become so beloved to me, Ya Rasulullah. Your face has become so beloved to me. I would love to see you more than anyone else. And Sumama radiallahu anhu has this beautiful discussion. Abu Sufyan goes the same exact thing. So when Hiraqal asks him, what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam command you to do? He says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَاتْرُكُوا مَا كَانَ يَقُولُ أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَيَأْمُرُنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّدِقِ وَالْعَفَافِ وَالصِّلَةِ. He says that Abu Sufyan says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us not to do any shirk, to do the oneness of Allah. And then the most amazing thing is this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanding non-Muslims, encouraging non-Muslims to pray, to be truthful, to be pious, don't commit zina, and to connect ties with family. He's commanding non-Muslims to do these things. Abu Sufyan is not a Muslim as of yet. But this is the vastness of the da'wah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that you and I are severely missing. That sometimes we have to look in ourselves and tell ourselves, what is the thing that I can focus on? If it's economics, then let me do economics. I'll make sure that there's no more riba in the community. If it's the fact that, you know, we have so much pollution, then I'll work on making sure that we can cure the pollution problem. If it's the fact that I want to see that the people of Kashmir are saved, then I want to make that my life goal, I'm going to make that happen. If I want to see the Burmese being taken care of, or the Uyghur Muslims being taken care of, or the fact that they're passing so many weird policies in the Senate or this institution of government that we have, then you make that your life goal to make sure you fix that. And you'll be what under the eye of Kuntum Khayra Ummah. I promise you this, because this is what the Mufassirin have written, that you make your life according to these things. But it's not right. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. It's not right to say, and do not be like, Allah tells us, do not be like those that they decided to choose one job, another job, and another job. And then they start to say, my job is better than that person's job. My job is better than that person's job. This person doesn't have, I'm helping out the Kashmiris, so my job is the most important. And someone says that I'm helping out the Syrians, so that means my job is the most important. Or someone says that I'm giving da'wah to Muslims, so my job is the most important. Everyone's job is equal. Everyone's job is equal. As long as you're doing khairat, as long as you're calling towards good, you have to remind her, one asar of Aisha radiallahu anha, if I remember correctly, she said that if you want to get the reward of everyone in the world, just make dua for everyone in the world. For all the khairat that's happening in the dunya, make dua for them. If you're not an alim or a maulana by yourself, make dua for the ulama. If you're not a hafiz yourself, make dua for the hafiz. If you're not a person helping out Kashmir or Syria or whatever it might be, make dua for them. And then you'll see, inshallah, in Qiyamah, your dua will have benefit in khair, inshallah ta'ala. Never ever look down on any job of deen. And I tell you, there's so many things to do. So many things to do. Everyone here has a family. You can give da'wah to your family. Maybe I don't have the tongue. I don't have the speech, the mannerisms to speak to people who are non-Muslim. Or even speak to people who are Muslim. Then you have your own family. You have your own children. You can give da'wah to them. You can encourage them to become good Muslims. And that can become your da'wah, inshallah ta'ala. Maybe you're a person who can give da'wah to his colleagues. Or maybe to their friends. Or maybe to your family. And just make that the goal of your life, that I'm going to make sure they're fixed. One brother here, Brother Bilal rahimullah ta'ala, you know him so well. His job, his goal, his mission, brothers were talking to me about him. He used to tell me that he used to just he fixed his mind, and I'm going to correct these brothers here in this community. And he made his goal that I'm just going to correct them, because that will be my khair, my pocket for good for the akhirah, inshallah ta'ala. And there's so many things to do. I really mean it. There's so many things. One brother comes up to me and says, Maulana, the ulama, I have a big complaint against the ulama. I'm like, okay. Oh, okay, I don't consider myself an alim anyways, but I'll hear your complaint. What's your complaint? It's like, the ulama don't know how to circumcise children. And I'm like looking at him like, I'm sorry, I skipped that class in madrasa. I didn't take the class, you know. I didn't take the course, I'm sorry. He's like, no, this is very important. Like, you know, what happens if everyone dies and there's no one else to circumcise our babies? And I'm like, okay, valid point. I don't think it's the most important thing that we have to focus on right now immediately. Right? But I agree with you. Maybe you should learn to do it. Right? And then on closer inspection, because everyone's just projecting something, right? Psychology-wise, we're just projecting. His own child, the doctor didn't circumcise right, so it ended up growing back. So he wants to see that this be changed in the community. May Allah give us all tawfiq. If you're into that, mashallah, you're into that. Make that khair happen, inshallah. Choose something for yourself. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And Allah ends the ayah by saying that you will definitely be those of success. The word falah and falah are uniquely tied. The word falah means success, and falah means farmer. A person who farms doesn't see their seeds grow immediately. You have to wait for them to grow. And sometimes the sabr will kill you as a farmer, that I'm not seeing my produce grow, I'm not seeing my product grow, and it's just taking forever. Similarly, for the person who's giving da'wah, you might want to change the interest problem in the community, and that might take you years, or even a century, or you and I might not even be alive for it. You might not even be alive for it, but you started the wheel to start spinning. You tried your best to make that happen. You know, in college, the reason, and the da'i really protects himself. You know, like when in college, I used to wear the jubba and the turban and everything, not because I wanted to show people, but really just to protect myself. Because I had this, in my mind, I would have this idea that if I'm dressed like this, I shouldn't do any Islam, I shouldn't do any sins. And similarly, the person who's doing some type of good deed, you tell yourself that, you know, when you're about to commit a sin, I'm doing this type of good deed, why would I be committing these types of sins? You know, that I used to see sisters wearing niqab even in college, mashallah, because of the idea of what, that we want to spread khayr as much as we can. Whatever way you can do it, inshallah. But the farmer has to wait. The farmer has to wait. You'll be doing this for years, maybe even decades, and maybe you'll pass away before it's even done. But your seed will grow. And why? How do we know a seed will grow? Because if you don't water it, Allah will water it for you. Allah will bring out the sun for you. Allah will take care of your investment. On Qiyamah, Allah will say, congratulations, you get the sawab of freeing all the Muslims of Kashmir. Say, ya Allah, what did I do? Said, I didn't even go there. I didn't even start touch it. But Allah will tell you that what? You made the du'as, you started the product, and I made it completed. May Allah give us that tawfiq and hidayah to become people of khairat, to become whatever we can do to make something good happen in the world. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah, give the solution to the Muslims of Kashmir, of Syria, of the Uyghur Muslims, and all the Muslimin who are suffering in the world. May Allah give them afiyah and sabr jameel for the sabr that they have to go through. May Allah make it easy on all of them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. For those who make sunnah can do some, inshallah.